Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett, located at 1575 Hooksett Road. You can reach them online at rileysguns.com or 485-5000. Attorney Penny Dean is next on Bulldog Live.
Now I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live for Second Amendment Tuesdays with our great friend, Attorney Penny Dean. How are you today?
Fine. How are you? Did you read the good news?
Which one? there's a case out of Epsom that we've been following for some time. Are you talking about that one?
Yes, the suit dropped over the defective deer stand.
Yes, I like this.
You want me to tell you something that's really great? Now I can talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know how you sometimes can't say things you know?
Okay, yes. Well, what we're talking about, just to remind people, this is the case in Epsom where the landowner was being sued after a hunter had gone up and hurt himself on his property. And, you know, the landowner saying, I didn't give permission for him to be there. And the hunter is saying, yes, you did. You wanted me to clear out coyotes on your land or something like that. And, you know, then the big lawsuit ensued. People were worried they were going to close off their land to hunting. Andy Sanborn, a state senator, has been in here talking about legislation in the state house, asking people, please take it easy. Tell us what happened.
Well, here's the really good news, and I can only presume that it's from the efforts of Rick Olson. You know, Rick Olson has a pro firearms blog.
Yep.
One day I'm in Riley's, and Rick's there, and I'm like, oh, hey, Rick, how are you? He says, well, I'm getting pictures of guys. And so I said, okay, why are you getting pictures of guys? And he said, because the defendant in the Epson case says that he doesn't believe the people who brought the suit even know who he is. So how in the world could he have given them permission to hunt on their land if he never met them, right?
Okay.
So they were going through and finding men in the gun store. They figured, you know, we'll sit here all day and find men who are the approximate height, weight, and whatever of the defendant in the case, and we're going to take pictures of them, and we'll ask this guy if he can pick them up out of a lineup. Right?
Oh, this is good.
See, so I don't know if that's...
That's a little time-consuming, but still.
Well, these are pro-firearm people working together for the common good, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's just an example of how firearm owners come together and help each other, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because this poor guy, think about it, is having to spend his money or his deductible and go through the misery of defending this very expensive lawsuit.
Right.
Now, according to the paper, and this is what's really interesting, during a recent meeting arranged between Corliss and the witness said Corliss was not the man with whom he had spoken. The man's identity remains unknown, Branch said, and Branch is their attorney, and I'm quoting from the union leader. When it turned out the guy my witness spoke with wasn't the owner, I dropped it even though it happened on Corliss's land. And I'm quoting attorney Branch here. Corliss denied ever knowing the men or owning the tree stand, he said. And so what happened here, at least ultimately the way I understand in the case, is Mr. Corliss never had met those men, never spoke with those men, didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yet their initial lawsuit alleged that he had given them permission in return for shooting coyotes to hunt on his land.
Right.
Remember? Okay. And so what they did, which is a genius idea, and you're sometimes able to do this in trials with the judge's permission so you as the lawyer don't get in trouble, is to put someone else sitting where you'd normally expect the defendant to say and say, can these people identify him? When they'll go, yep, that's the defendant. You go, oh, that's really interesting. because, you know, they sometimes have the defendant sitting in the audience, and it happens rarely, but it's a really good technique to show if the person being accused really is the correct person. And that's really, really important. So I just thought that everyone should know about good news. But what that has done, at least in my mind, for firearm owners and hunters and shooters and landowners, it's a wake-up call that no matter how tough we think legislation is, the courts can twist it. And one example I give is HB 29, which I hope goes through, and that's a bill to allow you to go to Superior Court if you're denied a license to carry rather than just going to district court the way you always have.
Okay.
Or, you know, the way you've always been able to, rather. And in other words, we've always thought that the language was crystal clear and the representatives who were part of it who passed the original one that allowed me to go to a Superior Court for years and years and years, I did, said this is crystal clear. And then when this Rockingham Superior Court got a hold of it on a one-time thing, and the Supreme Court said, oh, yeah, you guys are all wrong. You can't go to Superior Court. That isn't what this says. That's only for these type of actions. And you're like, wait a minute. We all thought the law was crystal clear.
Right.
So, you know, so HB 29 is a bill to say that you can go to district or Superior Court, and that's a bill that's still languishing in the House, and people need to ask Representative O'Brien, who I believe cast the tie vote against it, sadly. Why the heck that's still languishing there. But I look at that case, the Grand case, as a wake-up call that you have to make the language so crystal clear or the courts will just, quite frankly, decimate the Second Amendment and all the related parts of it. And even though I certainly, in the first person today, the Second Amendment isn't over deer hunting, it's part and parcel of all of our rights. And so this was an example. The fact that the suit got this far was, to me, a wake-up call that we need to make the law even tighter, clearer, and stronger.
Yes. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. And so this is what we need to do, we as citizens in this state, work on that so that we don't, before we have another suit brought against another landowner where the person bringing the suit isn't man enough to say, gee, like this person was, gee, I made a mistake. I don't know this person.
Right, exactly. Well, as the story that I had read at WMUR.com. Yeah, it was interesting because they said, well, gee, we really don't know. We didn't know that. Yeah, he didn't own the tree stand that was defective. So we have to go find somebody else to sue instead.
Whoa.
Yeah,
okay.
It's great. Yeah, basically, I'm summarizing it, of course. You know,
yep.
I can go back and read the exact quote.
Yeah, that's very sad when you get to that point, you know, that they're going to. Because the bottom line in this particular case, to me, there's a lot of things you do in life at your own risk, okay? It's just the way it is. You know, who are we going to sue when we get defective air someday? You know, go outside and breathe the bad air. You know, and the bottom line is there's just so many things in life that we need to take personal responsibility for.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, I'll read you this story, you know, again, from WMUR.com. A New Hampshire hunter who was seriously hurt when a tree stand he was using collapsed is dropping his lawsuit against the landowner because someone else owned the stand. And let's see. Yeah, now says a friend spoke to someone else who mistakenly believed it was on his property. So I wonder if they're going to go sue him now.
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
So the story didn't say that, but it, you know, you kind of begin to wonder, gee, are they going to sue the friend maybe? Who knows? Oh,
you're
my
right.
Gosh.
The way that's written, it makes me go, okay, do we have, you know, is this problem truly not gone away?
Well, that's exactly it. But anyway, you know, I was traveling last week, as you well know, because we didn't, you know, I wasn't here and you weren't able to join us because there was no fill-in host last Tuesday. But, I got to observe a lot of things on my trip, and that is the degradation of society, really. And I stopped off at a friend of mine, a guy who I once produced a very popular talk show for, and the guy who gave me the name Bulldog. And I had a nice chat with him, and we were talking about, you know, I said, he asked me how I like New Hampshire. He says, are you staying? I said, oh, absolutely. I said, you know me, I like small government. And he said, well, you got plenty of that. I said, yes, and the government doesn't tell me I have to wear a seatbelt, what kind of car insurance I have, any of that kind of nonsense. And he says, and it doesn't attempt to disarm the citizenry either. I said, safest state in the country. He says, you think that's a coincidence?
Isn't that true?
It is so true. Because in Maryland, you know, they do disarm the citizens there. And look at the crime rates. It's hideous.
It's horrible. But you know what? The really sad thing I have to tell people all the time is, look, New Hampshire has, relatively speaking, better firearms laws than other places, but we still have tons of room for improvement.
Yeah, there is. And in fact, looking upon various states that I've traveled through, and I've read as many of the gun laws as I could in those other states, and it was just, you know, amazing. You know, Virginia, here's what I kind of, you know, conclude out of Virginia.
Okay.
It's legal for you to have a handgun in your glove compartment, but you can't have a radar detector.
Oh. Figure that out.
Figure that one out. Exactly. You can have a handgun in your vehicle without a license, you know, a concealed carry license. But, you know, you can do that, but you can't have the radar detector. So it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Man, I like my radar detector.
but speaking of traveling, you know, one of the issues that came up last week in Congress was this bill that would permit you to carry across state lines if you have a license issued in your home state.
Yeah, H.R. 822 is a horrible, horrible bill as it is currently.
Really?
I'm very sad it passed. Very sad.
Well, tell us what happened. Tell us about this.
Well, H.R. 822, okay, is what I call another wolf in sheep's clothing, where they say we're going to give you this, okay? And the fact that they passed an amendment to H.R. 822 at the same time on a voice vote. Whenever they pass things on a voice vote, it really makes me feel warm and cozy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because,
who's
okay,
accountable?
Yeah, and it was sponsored by Republican David, and I might mispronounce his name, Reichardt. He's C-rated by GOA, which should tell you everything you need to know.
Okay.
And it instructs the Government Accounting Office to conduct a study of the ability of state and local law enforcement authorities to verify the validity of licenses or permits issued by other states to carry a concealed firearm. Would you like me to translate that?
Would you please? Because I got lost in the wording on that. Say it again.
It says, conduct a study of the ability of state and local law enforcement authorities to verify the validity of licenses or permits issued by other states to carry a concealed firearm.
Uh-oh, I don't like this. You translate it for me. See if my suspicion is correct.
Exactly right. Right now, let's say I live in Concord, okay?
Uh-huh.
Let's say that I drive up to Wolfboro, okay? Wolfboro PD pulls me over. They do not know I have a license to carry, nor should they, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because my information is with Concord, which is where I live, correct?
Right.
Okay, now, what they're saying here, because we can translate it, they're going to say, they're going to go state by state and say, let's say that Penny goes to Virginia. And they pull Penny over and they say, well, we need to see your New Hampshire license to carry. Let's say that, and I can't remember if we have reciprocity with Virginia
we
or not.
We do not.
I have a Virginia license to carry, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Let's go to Florida. We have reciprocity with Florida.
We do.
Let's say I'm going, even though I have a Florida license to carry too, but let's say I'm in Florida and I don't show my Florida non-resident license. I show my New Hampshire license. I'm carrying a firearm. And they say, you know, you have a license for that? Absolutely. Here's my New Hampshire license to carry. What they want to do is be able to, quote, unquote, verify that that license is valid, right? Now, they don't want to do it by calling Concord PD and checking with whoever the records person is, right?
Uh-huh.
They want that all electronic and online. Okay, so that anywhere anybody is, which means we're going to have to put everybody from every state.
No.
In a national accessible database, right?
No, because here's what happens. Let's take a look at what happened in Illinois with gun registrations when they made those records available to the media so that people can, so the anti-gun newspapers and editorial boards can publish the names and addresses of the gun owners.
Yeah, and here's the problem. Now, what New Hampshire has very strict state laws on the book that protect the privacy of gun owners, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's say they go in this national database. You know what? Let's say Illinois is going to say, screw you, New Hampshire. Come into Illinois' court and screw us. Or
right.
Sue us, you know?
Right.
Just go ahead and try. We didn't agree to that. Okay, so that's one huge problem. Number two, they're going to say, well, we don't know if that's Penny Dean. We got this piece of paper, but there's no picture with it. How do we know this Penny Dean? Right? How do we know?
Oh,
I mean, yes,
gosh.
She's got a driver's license. Now, let me tell you, the other problems that we have with this, because we have many, many other problems with it, okay?
You know I do? You know what I do if I'm carrying in a state where we have reciprocity? I carry the actual reciprocity agreement with me.
That's a really wise thing to do.
Let's say I'm on the side of the road with Georgia Highway Patrol, and yep. They find out. However, they find out, they say, "Huh, hey, boy, you got a gun for it? You got a license for that thing in there?" Yes, I do. Well, how do I know this is good in Georgia? Well, here's the agreement between your attorney general and ours.
Yeah. And you have it printed out within a week or two of when you went, and
exactly.
You go look. You can check it.
Yep.
Today.
Yep.
And
makes his
and
life easier. I want to make his job easier to verify that, so I can get on my way as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because that's the key word. You want to get on your way as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. And so now this was even before the amendment. Okay. But the bottom line is, the bill, even without this bad amendment, was still a bad bill.
Okay.
Okay, because it has several provisions that I think people should know about and understand what they mean, okay? First of all, my attitude of any bill is if it institutes more gun regulation, it's not a pro-firearm bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Vermont residents don't need a license or permit to carry.
That's right.
Okay. In order for 822 to work, or work for Vermont residents, they have one of two choices, neither of which they're probably going to like. They either have to obtain an out-of-state permit, which a bunch of states won't give Vermont residents permits because there's no reciprocity, because Vermont can't give you a permit that they don't have, right?
Right.
Okay. Or they want Vermont to institute a licensing system in their state. Okay, so what do you think about that? Yeah, 822. Go 822, right? Yeah, you might want to. I'll tell you what, I'm writing nasty letters to all my reps right now saying, if you guys think you're getting a kudo from me, you're not. You're getting, like, coal in your stocking.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And, Vermont's not the only one. Other states are dropping the license requirements to carry now.
Absolutely. Let me tell you the larger, huger, principled problem we have with 822. 822 essentially is going to federalize license to carry, which will take all the power away from the states. States like New Hampshire, who've done just fine without federal regulation. Okay?
Yes, and we've been able to do fine with coming up with agreements with other states.
That's exactly right. Now, by requiring permits for reciprocity, this really destroys constitutional carry. But the other thing that it really does is, you know how, I think it's Montana, there's a federal suit going through right now, what's called the Montana Freedom Law, where they did the made in Montana. In other words, if a firearm was made in Montana, it doesn't leave Montana. You know the whole bit.
Right.
What this does here, 822, basically bolsters the Commerce Clause, which is bad for firearms owners, okay? And the bottom line is what they're saying is that this Commerce Clause, that firearms really do come under it, and we really should regulate them that way. We've argued, pro-firearm people have argued against that for years, and now we're going to, like, turn around and the courts are going to say,
This is the same Commerce Clause that the Congress and the President of the United States used to say that Obamacare is legal. And this is the same Commerce Clause that dates back to Franklin Roosevelt and the days of the Depression, where a wheat farmer was punished for not growing a crop because he was interfering with interstate commerce. So
bingo, bullseye.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. You don't want to trust the Commerce Clause with Congress. That's for sure.
And the bottom line is, what this does is this totally undermines. What this does is, do we want carry the way we have it, or some sort of national recognition? But what this is going to do is really stronger, I guess you'd say, federalize licenses to carry, which is nothing but bad, because then you need a federal organization to basically push it. Do we want that? No. We'll
All
take
right,
care
so
of
it. H.R. 822 is a no-no. Don't go along with that. Well, Penny, before I have to let you go, real quick, there was another bill I thought that was coming up in Congress that would allow you to carry across state lines. If you had a license issued in one state, other states that do issue licenses would have to recognize yours. What became of that?
H.R. 2900.
Yes, okay.
H.R. 2900, and what happened to that is, I don't know, those who aren't too bright, said H.R. 822 is our boy, let's go with it. And basically, 2900 is languishing, and people should be calling their reps and their senators and saying, what about H.R. 2900? Why can't we have that?
Yep. Right? That one sounded a lot simpler to me.
It's very much simpler, and more importantly, it doesn't strengthen the feds, which we don't want, mm-hmm. and it makes it clear that licensing is still a statewide issue.
It basically pulls up the idea of the good faith and credit clause of the Constitution.
Absolutely. Full faith and credit clause. You're exactly
my correct. Driver's license is good in Virginia. Why isn't my my pistol license?
Well, what about your marriage license? You got married in what state, right?
Yeah, I got married in Connecticut.
Okay, Connecticut. New Hampshire recognized your marriage?
Absolutely.
Okay. So why can't they recognize the other stuff? And we didn't need the feds to jump in that and have a national marriage law, did we?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, is that they recognize your marriage. They probably, if you had kids born in another state, recognize you as the father of those children.
Yep.
Right? In other words, they recognize the birth certificate.
Right.
Yep, this is a birth certificate. So why is this so hard to not do?
Yeah, first
like
child was born in Maryland, second child born in New Hampshire. Yeah, nobody's got a problem recognizing that I'm the father. Right.
Right, and didn't you know, if you have to bring that Maryland birth certificate into somewhere in New Hampshire for school, so they go, oh, that's a Maryland birth certificate. We don't know about this.
Right. Yes. Nope, haven't run into that problem, thankfully. Well, anyway, with that, Penny Dean, I got to go. How do people get in touch with you?
230-9999.
All right, thank you very much, and thank you again to Riley Sports Shop for making the segment possible, located at 1575 Hooksett Road in Hooksett. You can reach them at 485-5000 or just stop on in during their great hours, Monday through Wednesday 9 to 5, Thursday and Friday 9 to 9, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 5, and I'll say it on behalf of Ralph at Riley Sports Shop, happy Thanksgiving.